Welcome to Soul Lessons, encouraging you to live with higher purpose and explore your spiritual side. I'm your host, Bill Phillips. I'm a psychic medium. And for those of you who aren't aware of what that means, I can communicate with those that have crossed over. I can channel heaven. My purpose for this show is to encourage people to start living in their own power and understand their higher purpose. I want to inspire people to explore their spiritual side and show them how it can be fun to get to know the side of themselves, to discover themselves, their true nature. Not a body with a soul, but yet a soul within a body. And to get other expert opinions on what our soul's purpose is in life and how they can view the nature of the human soul. Okay, so welcome to today's show. And before I get to my very special guest, I will have a special announcement. I will be doing an audience reading Saturday, August 11th at 1 o'clock in San Diego, California. So for those of you who haven't seen me in action yet, I highly encourage it. It's always a miracle and it's always amazing. So I hope to see you there. Now for my guest, which I am so incredibly excited to have in my presence right now after all these years. Christine Woods has appeared in over 100 episodes of television, including too many pilots to count, as well as numerous award-winning shorts and feature films. You may have seen her most recently on Man with a Plan on CBS, Life in Pieces on CBS, as well as most notably HBO's Hello Ladies. You can see her this fall in HBO's Room 104, as well as Entrapta, on the highly anticipated DreamWorks reboot of the animated show She-Ra and the Princess of Power. Christine currently studies shamanic meditation and cites this spiritual work as part of the reason why she hasn't lost her mind in the strange and ever-changing business of entertainment. It also may be her two golden retrievers and the work she does with IAMA, Theater Company, a place where she can experiment as an artist. Is it IAMA or IMO?
It's IAMA.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I was like, I'm just going to say that.
Plenty of people make that mistake. You're fine.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here.
It's so good to be here and to see your face.
I know. It's just been so many years. And for those listeners out there, this is for some basic background. Christine and I went to high school together.
Oh my God.
And it's been years. I don't want to say how many years it's been, but it's been quite a few years.
What is it now, 2018?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been so many years.
And you were a year ahead of me, so for you it's been a little bit longer, but yeah. It's been about, you know, 17 years. Okay. So, and when we were in high school, we were both in the arts, and you were an inspiration to so many people in high school. And I think that we all knew on a deep level that it was destined for you.
Hmm. How do you feel? That's really good to hear. Thank you. That's very sweet to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I always knew that I would do this as a job.
Right.
But it's nice to hear that, like, I wasn't crazy or anything.
Right. And so that's, so basically.
Well, I am a little crazy.
Well, you have to be a little bit crazy to be involved with something where you're basically exposed and you have to go to that special place within, you know, and everyone goes there in a different light. So the theme for today's show is acting as channeling. And I thought that was the perfect topic because, I myself went to a music conservatory, and when I was there, I realized after the fact that I was basically being trained to be a medium. I didn't realize it then, you know, I was already doing my thing, but I didn't realize that all of the interactions and really having to be in the moment and present and really surrendering yourself to a higher, you know, to a higher purpose. So for you, how does that look for you with what you do?
It's so amazing to hear you talk about it because you so get it.
Yeah.
And you so, I mean, it's as if you do acting for a living because, like you said, it is very similar to being a medium.
Right.
It's funny. I don't know if the listeners know, but Bill is an incredible singer. I'm sure that's come up once or twice.
A little bit. Yeah.
But what's interesting is, and I was driving over here today, I was thinking about something just popped into my head was the difference between channeling with music and like dance versus channeling as an actor.
Right.
And it's quite different. Mm-hmm. It's quite different in the process. And I think that more so when you talk about channeling as an actor, you open the channel, you invite those things in your preparation phase.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, certainly if you're doing something on stage, probably 20% of the time when you're in the moment on stage, there's something happening that feels like channeling.
Yeah.
But most of the time, those moments occur when you're preparing and building a character, when you're breaking down a script and trying to figure out what is the message here? What right. is this playwright trying to say? What is this person meaning to impart to the yeah. bigger audience? And so I use meditation and channeling to kind of tap into what my part is mm-hmm. in telling that kind of big, broad sentence that
right.
they're trying to say.
Yeah.
But it's funny because you can feel so much happening when you're in that kind of channel state when you're preparing for a role that you kind of just have to let it be whatever it is mm-hmm. and not be embarrassed. What, you know, especially when you're in a room full of other actors and you're rehearsing a play,
oh my
and
gosh.
Sometimes you do just like the weirdest thing, but you just have to trust that that's the process,
right.
letting things come in mm-hmm. that you don't necessarily try to manage or control, but you let them come in.
Absolutely. I know that when I was singing and more so now when I'm doing like an audience event, I don't have time to think. That's mm-hmm. kind of how I like to equate it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like if I get out of my own space and I go to the spontaneous place in my mind or in myself, that's where this connection happens. And I'm sure it's the same exact thing for you. Do you
yeah.
have like an intention or do you have a moment beforehand where you sort of set everything up in your mind and then surrender it before you go into this?
Yeah, well, I do preparation, mm-hmm. meditation. And just to like give an example, the kind of meditation I do regularly is shamanic meditation. And
wow.
shamanic meditation is, I have a teacher that I've worked with for years and years and years. And it's kind of like we've taken from all the traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't claim one culture or one type of shamanic medicine
right.
or the other. But it's a lot to do with finding your seat of power, going through a portal
mm-hmm.
that's a visual place,
yeah.
and sitting in a safe plane
mm-hmm.
and just opening your heart.
Wow.
I mean, it's really that simple.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't
yeah.
actually sound very simple. That sounded a little complex, but I've been doing it for many years.
Right.
So whenever I go into a project, I'll journey and I'll say, what am I looking for?
Mm-hmm.
What do I keep an eye out for? What are these messages? And, you know, guides will come and tell me, or animal, you know, it's who, you know, you name it,
right.
will come and say, like, look for joy,
oh.
or look for healing sadness,
yeah.
or, you know, because these basic principles, I think, are at the root of all the stories we
mm-hmm.
tell. So that helps me kind of find the highlighted theme.
Right.
And then, of course, if something comes up and I'm like, this is weird, then I'll meditate again and I'll say, what was this about?
Mm-hmm.
And I might get insight that way. But does that make sense?
I mean, to me, it makes complete sense. And I'm just going to ask you right
yeah.
now, you're also using all of your senses.
Yes.
You have to be super, super
yeah.
exposed and super aware of what's
yeah.
going on internally and externally,
uh-huh.
but also to spirit
yeah.
too, I would imagine. I mean, obviously,
oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because they're guiding you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so amazing to have that different perspective of this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
yeah.
me, myself, doing this work, it's, you know, it can be a lonely road at times
yeah.
because no one really gets it, you know,
mm-hmm.
unless they're
mm-hmm.
doing something either the same
mm-hmm.
or something similar. So,
mm-hmm.
having this connection with you after over all these years, I know that you get it. And that's
yeah.
what's kept us connected.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Because it's just the same, it's a similar language.
Right.
And, you know, it's, you hear, and also the other side of it too is whenever I leave a project or step away from an event, as I call it, like doing a play. It feels like a life event.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
I can journey, meditate, and say thank you, goodbye, I'm done here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have this kind of spiritual hygiene, if you will, and you can kind of clean up and do visualizations of burning down a building, like just little tricks like that,
right,
where you don't get stuck in those places. Because, mm-hmm, you know, you hear of actors over the years and they're so sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. We're so sensitive, right, and we're very attuned. And so I also find that when you're opening a channel to do work, you have to close the channel,
right,
in order to like live a normal day-to-day life.
Right.
So that's also been very helpful for me. And you see some of these actors and they're brilliant, and you watch them and you're just like, there's no way that's just you. There's no way you're just the only thing present right now.
Right.
And to live in that space day to day is like, it's a lot. I mean, right, you know, you live with it every minute.
I do it every day. I know, yeah, but it really is similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the most important thing to keep in mind with this is that time is not the same as we're experiencing here physically. Mm-hmm. So when you're, and I'm sure that you've learned this over the years and that it looks different for you now, but you're preparing for roles and then there's time in between. So what do you do in between to really balance that energy and to really sort of disconnect and kind of let in the next opportunity?
I don't know. I'm working on it. I think that, you know, it's interesting because, I'd love to approach every creative project just from a spiritual place, but I do think that I get so much, and specifically in using my senses,
mm-hmm,
inviting like my human self in,
right,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, certainly after you do, I just got done. It's fresh in my mind. I just finished doing a play.
Okay.
This brilliant writer named Leslie Headland. She wrote, she created, or I think directed the pilot for Heathers. Like, she directs a lot of television,
mm-hmm,
and wonderful writer, director, and she wrote this insane play about a very intense family called Cult of Love.
That's,
you can imagine. It's such a great title.
Yes.
But it was about one of the characters I played, it was about mental illness.
Mm.
And so it was about mental illness and religion, and it was really, really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And especially when you're doing that for a room full of people,
mm-hmm,
and so you're experiencing the heavy thing, but on top of that, you've got a 99-seat house experiencing,
right,
the heavy,
wow,
thing. And as a sensitive person, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many people having so many feelings right now. Like, how am I going to deal with this?
Yeah.
So being able to kind of visually like pull the shade is always helpful.
Mm.
And just like those Roman shades where like the light can come in, but like you don't see.
Oh, I love
the
how
trees,
you say that.
You know?
Yeah.
That's something visually that's helpful for me when I'm doing something very emotional or channeling or doing something intense and people are watching.
Especially with live theater too,
mm-hmm,
I would imagine, because there's no pause or there's no cut. And it's so much more intense.
Yes.
Being in live theater and seeing live theater.
Yeah.
It's an all-encompassing experience for
the
audience.
Is it weird for you to go to a play?
But it's that same mentality of flipping the switch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I have to really focus on ignoring it while I'm experiencing that human side. Otherwise,
mm-hmm,
I'll be like crazy in my head.
Yeah.
I'll be picking up on things, and it doesn't serve a purpose in that moment for me, you know?
Like, I picture you at a play being like, remember that part when this happened? And you're like, no.
Exactly.
I don't remember that. That didn't happen.
That's my world. That's my world. I'm constantly,
mm-hmm,
going between the physical and the spiritual, mm-hmm, being a part of myself. And it's interesting that you bring up mental illness as part of this play. What do you feel about this? Because I've seen over the years, I've worked with people that have been schizophrenic or have had a lot of mental issues. And I feel that immersed within that illness, there's a gift. And I know it sounds controversial and it may be a little bit too much, but what do you feel about that?
I'm so glad you asked that. That's what the play was about.
Oh, okay.
My character was ill.
Wow.
But she also had a church.
Oh, wow.
And she was a channeler. She channeled God.
Wow. Yeah.
And she, it was a very complicated set of relationships mm-hmm. that she had to navigate within both of those things being true at the same time.
Right.
Now, that's my interpretation mm-hmm. because right. of who I am and what my experiences are.
Right.
But there were 10 characters, 9 characters on stage at the same time, like arguing, talking over each other, and it just so intense and so polarizing mm-hmm. the opinions of what was actually going on with my character.
Right.
And it was such an interesting play to talk to people about mm-hmm. afterwards. And you've got people on one side, they're like, oh my gosh, she's crazy. Like, she's absolutely insane. She should be in a mental hospital. Like, how can those people let her do that? And then you've got other people that are in the similar, yeah. you know, compassion. School of thought as us, where right. it's like, well, yeah, mm-hmm. but also this other thing right. that could be true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we live in a world where good and bad, black and white, mm-hmm. and I think certainly as an artist, as a spiritual person, a gift that we get over and over again is living in the duality.
Yes.
And having both things be true at the same time.
Right.
Which I think is really challenging for a lot of people and can be very, very scary for someone with a mentally ill family member.
Right.
Because for them, it's only awful.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And they don't know the kind of awful that it is for their family member, but you know, it's yeah. it's so complicated.
It is.
It's so layered. And there's not one, I don't think there's one answer.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for those of you listening, I'm here with my guest, Christine Litz.
Hey.
And we're talking about channeling as acting, and we're going to go to a break right now. But you're listening to KX 93.5, and I'm your host, Bill Phillips.
So different sun, so different.
This is Soul Essence on KX93.5. I'm your host, Bill Phillips, and I'm back with my very special guest, Christine Woods, who happens to be a very dear friend of mine from high school and also this phenomenal actress. So I'm so happy to have her here to really discuss her gift in all of this and how there's so much similarities between what we do. So getting back to this, and we were just talking about the stigma of mental health a minute ago and really trying to help people understand that there are options, spiritually speaking, too. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like people that don't understand energy and vibration, that want to just kind of numb their senses, happens a lot. But when we really take the time to be present and go within and do that inner work, you really see why we're here in the first place. And it's truly magical. And I know that for me, doing what I do, I have to constantly be protecting myself. And I always talk about calling in this white light, this God light, this Christ light that I use every day. That light really truly helps plug me in to the universe, but it also helps just protect me from anyone's daggers or anything that's not of my highest good. So if there is a soul that's not, you know, of the light, I'm going to be protected from that soul. Or if I'm working with someone who's in heavy grief and they're very much in a dark space, you know, I'm not going to absorb that energy when I leave the session. So for you, Christine, how does that work for you?
Bill, you're so smart. Well, you know, a little while ago we spoke about spiritual hygiene,
right,
is what I call it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And it's personal for everyone, and mm-hmm. for me, it's a process of getting centered in a spiritual plane where I am with spirit guides and energies mm-hmm. that are familiar and right. familial.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a spiritual family, a spirit family,
yes,
if you will.
I love that.
And they're always available to me,
mm-hmm.
always available.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are like my dead grandparents,
right,
or my aunts and uncles,
right,
or my
right.
ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
some of them are guides that I don't know,
right,
or from my earth life or
yeah.
whatever. But my process includes inviting them in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's no matter where you are in life, no matter how frightened you are, no matter how dire things are getting, you may not be aware of this,
mm-hmm.
but you have a force field around you.
Right.
It's not possible for you not to,
right,
because we all have guides,
mm-hmm.
whether or not we're available to that knowledge or mm-hmm. we are inviting them in to be part of our daily lives, they are there and they are protecting you.
Right.
I mean, I just know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that to be true.
Yeah.
So when, you know, when I mean, Hollywood's weird, right? There's a lot of strange things,
yes,
there. There's a lot of sadness,
mm-hmm.
a lot of loss, a
right.
lot of grief, a lot of addiction,
mm-hmm.
a lot of pain.
Right.
And there's also a lot of salve and a lot of healing energy. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are called to this place because they give that healing energy.
Right.
So it's this amazing mix of like good, bad, weird, strange, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and so I know that I always find those people,
right,
like the good people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important to have a meditation practice or
mm-hmm.
have a prayer practice,
mm-hmm.
where you can go sit, be quiet.
Yeah.
And for me, in the shamanic tradition, I use a drum.
Really?
And I go into a meditative state and I go to a very safe place.
Yeah.
And similar to your experience of light,
yeah,
and Christ consciousness,
mm-hmm.
that's this the way I was raised, so that's my language.
Right, yeah.
It's a practice,
mm-hmm.
and you have to engage in the practice to feel shorthand with the practice.
Yeah, it's like building a muscle.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, like you say, time,
mm-hmm.
is that when you go to this place and you sit with these helpers,
right,
time is compounded. Yeah. So it's as if you've been there for millions of years, and it was 10 minutes. Yeah. So I just always encourage friends who are struggling with a project, or they get stuck in this, you know, creative process that's making them feel sad and vulnerable, mm-hmm. that to really just touch base with the fact that even though it doesn't feel like it, there's a force field.
Yeah.
It's just always there.
You have to trust. And I love how you talk about your committee of guides mm-hmm. being more than just your deceased loved ones.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny because I'm writing my second book right now, and mm-hmm. we were talking about this last night about how a spirit guide and your group of guides are not just your deceased loved ones. They're also mm-hmm. like, you know, Walking Man, the Indian guide, and mm-hmm. they're also angels and the people that have been on this earth that are not here anymore, but that are sent to you to mm-hmm. help you with that specific, maybe mm-hmm. someone that was an actress before, yeah. you know, in a
Absolutely.
Previous lifetime that has found this attraction to your light, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And a lot of animals, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a lot of canine spirit guides.
Oh, I'm not surprised to hear
so
that.
Many.
Yes. And that's
just like hundreds.
An unconditional love. And you need to feel that support mm-hmm. system.
Yeah.
And it's always available. And when you really surrender to it, you do feel it. It is palpable. It's around you. It's inside of you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Hollywood, on that note, it's like people are drawn there for more than one reason. I feel like people go there because they want to be famous. That's mm-hmm. always the number one reason, right? Mm-hmm. And then they get there and they have all these crazy events happen in their life. And it's really a universal lesson to detach from the ego. You know what I mean? Like, why do you want mm-hmm. to be an actor? Why do you want to be a singer? And I think that over time, people realize their true intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not right for them to be a singer in Hollywood. Maybe they're meant to be working with children or something like that, you know?
But it's almost like a portal.
Exactly. It's a portal. It is a
to
portal.
To your highest power, potentially,
exactly.
for people.
Yeah. And it can be a dark ride for many people mm-hmm. that are there. Mm-hmm. But many of them do come out of it, though, and just rebirthed, you know? And but you have maintained this beautiful career for so long now, and it's just commendable, you know, that you're doing this amazing work, but you have a tremendous gift. And I don't say that lightly, and only because I've known you for so many years, you really do. And whenever I feel connected to you, I'll put on the TV and there you are.
Oh my
gosh, I was telling
that's so
this
funny.
To Patrick. I was years ago, I was randomly had never seen The Walking Dead, put the TV on that one night because he was watching it, and there you were. And I'm like, oh, that's not Christine though. That's not Christine. You know what I mean? So
it could not be
you. Just for example, for that particular scene, because you were a dark force mm-hmm. in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to like go outside and shake or something, or like, I don't know, walk barefoot on the beach afterwards, or do something to kind of ground yourself?
Well, I really think that my, aside from like the spiritual work,
right.
my dogs in spirit and in life Aww. Are so, they're just like sponges. Like they're like, almost like a cleansing solution
yes.
for your contacts. Like that's the dumbest example, but like I feel when I'm with them, and mm-hmm. Lily specifically, I have two golden retrievers, one of which is 9 now, and
wow.
she's my soulmate.
Right.
I mean, she's just my everything.
Yeah.
And seeing her, touching her, being with her, it's such a, that feels like walking on the beach barefoot to me.
Interesting.
That's my way of, and then I go on a hike with her, and then I'm communing with nature, with an animal. I mean, it's people that have a need for daily spiritual contact mm-hmm. should have a dog.
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way. And my dog is also one of my soulmates too. And I couldn't imagine life without him. And they do ground you. And mm-hmm. they're very psychic as well. And they know when to come over and give you energy, you know,
yes.
and they know when to cuddle with you. And
yes.
it's so amazing. And I really feel like they are part of our soul group.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
You know, they've always been in that particular form of dog, but they are there to, just emote this love presence to us. And they really do travel with us over
so
time.
So sweet. Didn't Sylvia write a book about Sylvia Brown. She wrote a book about pets.
Yes. And I
pets as guides, I think.
And God bless her. And she was so knowledgeable about all this stuff. And it's true, but you know, it could also be, I've seen people before in readings that had a snake that was their best friend too, you know?
Yeah.
It just depends on their purpose and what they're doing here.
I love that. You know? And in the shamanic tradition that I practice, animals are so important. Like the spiders, ants, hedgehogs, dragons.
They're messengers.
I mean, yeah.
And
it's a very universal language, animals.
Right.
We all, you know, see them in the same ways.
Right.
I mean, culturally, some are different, but for the most part, it's a shortcut.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you dream? It's a random question. But
no, that's a great question. I had crazy dreams last night, really vivid dreams. And I tend to forget them a lot. I mean, like everybody does. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I dream and I feel like, well, this is not my dream.
Right.
This is someone else's dream because I've never experienced these things or I've never seen these things.
Yeah.
But I don't pay as much attention to my dreams, I think, as I have in the past. And I think I'm starting to dream vividly now because I'm in between gigs, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to know, just consciously, because we all dream, obviously. Mm-hmm. We all go to a different place. We do soul work every night that we're here. But for me, I get all of my signs in my waking life, primarily. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really paying attention when I'm asleep about, the bear that's crawling next to me or whatever.
Right.
But I have people that I know that that dream so vividly, and they have these prophetic dreams all the time. So I was just curious if it was a part of your daily experience.
It was much more a part of my experience as a child than as an adult, because I think that, like you say, in your waking life, I experience much of my information coming when I meditate.
Right.
But it's interesting. I do think that what I pick up in my dreams, that's the non-cognizant stuff, is maybe just some universal information that I'm supposed to know or learn about.
Right.
But I rarely dream about that's a thing that happened to me and I feel an emotional response to it and I'm supposed to think about this. It's that was weird. I'll write it down and be like, I wonder what's going on in the world today that this feels relevant to, that maybe I can gather some personal information from.
Because you're tapped in.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, how do you feel cultivating this channel over the years has increased your psychic awareness?
I mean, I think a lot.
Yeah,
I think a lot.
You're very psychic. I mean, the energy is just you're like an exposed nerve, you know?
Yes, so, very much, yeah.
And because you're always having to kind of go in and out of it, it's a great practice.
I
love that.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think my awareness of that has increased over the years. I think I've always been that way since I was a child.
Yeah.
Musically speaking, specifically, it was always about music for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you can relate to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you were so blessed with to have parents that were just, such a huge support system for you. So they were the ideal parents that when you had the imaginary friend, they would tell you, yes, and they would encourage your imagination.
Yep, absolutely.
For many people, we didn't have that, where we were told, oh, that's not, you don't really have that. And then this fear kind of crept in. And then most people go through life at that point of childhood blindly, for many years. And I know for me personally, I saw a lot of things when I was a child and I thought, and I loved it, and then I was taught differently. And
that was scary.
That it was scary.
Yeah.
And it closed it off for me.
Yeah.
And then my gift came back, when I was 14 and I had that revelation, but for everyone, and I was lucky to have that as a 14-year-old. Many people have it when they're 45 years old,
So interesting.
Yeah. So you have maintained this, this awareness and this open mind and heart.
Yeah.
Your whole life. And I think that's amazing.
Oh, that's really sweet of you to say. I definitely have a very human response to it sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this sucks. I don't have time for this.
Uh-huh.
But that's like anything, I think we all have that. And I do think it's not that it does ebb and flow like life, like everything. And it comes and it goes, and you pay attention to it more certain mm-hmm. times of your life. And right. I think I'm at a time in my life where I'm really inviting, you know, love and motherhood mm-hmm. and life roots and all this stuff. I'm really inviting that. So, yeah. like, of course, I feel the dial cranked
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. And I know that you believe in law of attraction. I know that you believe in manifestation, and we're the creators of our will. Mm-hmm. That's important in any kind of field that you're in. If you're an actor, if you're a dentist, if you're yeah. whatever it is, you have to know that you harness that power inside. Yeah. And I think especially when you're an artist as well, because you're creating that next path mm-hmm. very specifically, especially, you know, even a musical artist as well, creating their album or their genre of music, you know. And mm-hmm. you are also an incredible singer as well. Do you still sing at all?
You know, I sang in the play.
Oh, my
God. It was
gosh.
Kind of a musical.
Oh, and I missed it. Gosh.
And it was like, I don't know why I didn't send
okay.
you the info.
I'm going to come next time.
But I think we're going to remount it.
Really?
Yeah, okay. So I think there was a couple people from like Orange County that didn't come up because uh-huh. I think we're going to go
yes.
to a bigger theater.
Wow.
Which will just be more exciting for people to see in the
right.
space. But, you know, I started dating a composer.
Oh.
Like 4 or 5 months ago.
Wow.
And it was so interesting, Bill, because I'm driving along in Los Feliz mm-hmm. or wherever, and I had this thought come to my mind, and I was just like, maybe a composer. And then my friend, the next day, was like, oh, I'm going to set you up with so-and-so, and he's a composer, and this and that. And I was
oh
like, that's
God.
Funny. And so little things like that.
That's how it works, folks. That's how it
yeah,
works. It's that,
that
subtle.
Simple.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's that subtle. Yeah. And I didn't think, who do I want? Literally, I'm driving thinking yeah. about like my lunch uh-huh. in Pops. A composer. And I'm like, am I going to be, what is this about? You know,
oh
so it
gosh,
is just this
that
weird
is
thing.
Fascinating.
So that being said, yeah. he's this incredible songwriter,
wow.
an amazing musician.
Oh
and
gosh.
He's like, saw me in the play and was like, you're a singer. Like, why don't you do that more often? And
wow.
So I think I'm going to start doing it.
That's awesome. I feel that way too, but I'm happy to hear you validate
mm-hmm,
that because
mm-hmm.
the universe is bringing it all to you
mm-hmm,
right now. That
mm-hmm.
is so incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're
it's
here
full
for
circle.
Yeah, it is full
yeah.
circle. And why not, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it started with music, and mm-hmm. now I feel
that's
like
what I
back
yeah
there.
Exactly because
yeah.
we had the same voice teacher in
yes,
high school
I
together,
know.
And it's just crazy. And you know, I think a lot of us thought that you'd be on Broadway, you know, like doing that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it took this other phenomenal, you know,
yeah.
Course, but it's probably going in that, you know, direction. So I just think it's amazing. I just
yeah.
think it's awesome. So for those of you listening right now, this is Christine Woods, the phenomenal actress, singer, performer extraordinaire. And you are listening to Soul Essence on KX 93.5, and I'll see you in a second.
We'll be right back.
KX93.5. I'm your host, Bill Phillips. I'm back with Christine Woods. We're having a great conversation today, just about everything, about life and about spirituality and how to harness that inner fire and to use it to your benefit. And it's just been so awesome. And speaking of that, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel like faith plays a part in acting?
God, such a great question. You know, you hear the word faith, mm-hmm. and we immediately think, oh, religion. Like, what's your religion?
Exactly.
What's your faith? And I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Catholic today, mm-hmm. but my language is of that,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And kind of my window mm-hmm. into faith. And I think that, well, certainly in the business of being an actor, you have to have faith that you're going to get a job.
Right? I would imagine.
You're going to pay your bills.
Yeah.
You're going to make a living, that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you have faith in yourself, yes, but you also have to have faith in the path
mm-hmm.
and trust.
Right.
And I find so much of that trust and faith through acknowledging a higher power
mm-hmm.
and acknowledging that if this isn't the path, mm-hmm. I'll know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that something will show me.
Right.
And it's interesting. I struggle with this a lot.
Really?
In terms of conceptually, emotionally, like the difference between being someone who does not take no for an answer,
yes.
being someone who will show up at 5 a.m. when the class starts at 7 mm-hmm. and work so hard and constantly just get knocked down, you get back up.
Right.
You go, 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 go. And then you hear people talk about the flow and the ease. And if you're meant to do this, it will feel natural.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you hear, we're such a culture of like stiff upper lip, like go for it.
Right.
Like just, you know, just bootstraps, mm-hmm. you know, like work really hard and you'll get there. And if people say no, then you just try again,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that there's so much value in having that attitude when you're
right.
building something and you're growing.
Yeah.
But I think that the difference might be that if you talk to someone who's had that kind of challenge, who keeps doing it, they have a lot of faith.
Right.
They have a lot of faith. And in that faith, it doesn't feel like an unnatural struggle.
Right.
So faith is what brings them all of those challenges and all that information that they gather from those challenges, and they don't think, oh man, this is awful. Like, those are the people that were like, you're gonna be great, it's gonna be fine, I'm doing it and it's great. Like, they're never negative and
yeah.
I have to pick myself up again. Like, that's not what it is for them,
right.
you know. So I think that faith specifically is about just trusting that if you're supposed to keep going, you'll know. And
right.
if you're supposed to stop, it will be so abundantly clear
yeah.
that you'll move on.
Right. It's like walking that tightrope, you
yeah.
know, and having to have complete faith and also surrender too. And, mm-hmm. but you know, people do push forward, and I've heard stories before of people that it took them 20 years mm-hmm. until they had their big break with something. But once they did, it was like mm-hmm. everything lined up, and that's where you have to let go of time.
Yes.
Right?
Ugh, that's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, all the information,
mm-hmm.
like practical information, earthly information, spiritual information, all of that information you're gathering
right.
is going to be the story you tell
mm-hmm.
eventually.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you listen to stories like about writers like Charles Bukowski, you know, these people that were a mailman
yeah.
for 50 years.
Right.
And then suddenly a writer.
Exactly.
And they were suddenly successful, but they mm-hmm. were always a writer.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. have you ever inspired somebody that was an actor who maybe was an atheist, and you had to show them a different way and maybe mm-hmm. helped them see the path and maybe helped them bring some positive energy into that path and, I don't know, maybe create something positive for them on that path?
You know, it's so interesting because I know plenty of atheists.
Yeah.
And some of them are incredibly positive and very just in flow and in a wonderful relationships, and they're amazing friends.
Yeah.
And I think that I look at people like that and I think like, wow, you've really got some knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some knowledge that you have, that you've had since before you came here.
Right.
And that's very interesting to me. And for now, maybe you're just doing something different.
That's true. I have a hard time believing it. I think like maybe in the back of their head, they're not saying anything, but they are tapped into that voice, or they're calling it something different.
It's interesting because I have a dear friend who is so brilliant, and she is the daughter of a very famous scientist.
Mm.
And she is so, like, she doesn't believe in God. That's not her thing. That's not the language she uses.
Right.
But when she talks about the universe and when she talks about space, it is so beautiful and so profound. And she is just a giver of love and someone who is so engaged in her relationships and in her life. And so sometimes when I talk about God or channeling, I say space.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Just to try it on to
different
see
language.
If it rings true. Yeah. And for me, it's the same place in my heart, in my body, that I go to and feel when I say God.
Right. Do you ever get resistance from that, or are they receptive to it? Do they, you know, respect your...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is a person I love to talk with about these things.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we're engaged and we respect each other, and it's fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's just, it's language.
Right. It totally is language. And I think that people get very afraid of God or afraid of, because of how they were raised or religion, or there can be many different things that could have happened to them. But I think that deep down we all have the, you know, capability of being in that space.
And especially when something is, I have a good friend that always says this to me, if it's hysterical, it's historical. So if you are so resistant to something to the point where like you can't stand it, then that's something to sit with.
Right.
Like, what is that about?
Yeah.
And there will maybe be some history there that felt really scary or challenging in knowing something truly that someone else doesn't believe.
Right.
And having that be okay.
That's so true. And within my experience of being a medium, I find that not everyone learns a lesson while they're here either. You know, until they get over there, like, oh, darn it, you know, why didn't I?
And they come back.
They do. Why wasn't more open to that? God, life was so beautiful, you know?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah. And it just makes me so grateful every day because life is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's just when you're able to see it in that way, it gives you the drive to keep going.
Yeah.
You know,
and
for
lessons
everyone.
Aren't these like, bubblegum candy bar things.
No.
They're hard.
They are. They are. They're serious business. And they can be very dark at times, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is why if you give yourself, you know, to a higher source or space or a spirit guide, you have that extra layer of guidance and protection. And that's just, it's so amazing. So going back to, like, you know, channeling and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like for me, and being a singer opened up this this awareness of my throat chakra.
Mm.
And that awareness, I feel like, is why I hear things so clearly, you know. So for you, because you hear things too. So it's like, do you ever visualize like the chakra opening before you do something? Or
is this blue?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. What's interesting is that my sweetheart, he's very blue to me. And so when we started spending time together, I was like, wow, you're very blue. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, never mind. we'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
But it's this, so I think that there's, for me, it's very color-based.
Yeah.
And so whenever I channel or meditate, my guides will come in a blue gown or in a purple outfit or in a red sweater. Yes. And it's like, ha, 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 how cute is that? But it's, I find it just easy to see things in that way. Gosh, that's interesting. It makes me want to just really sit and think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, I agree, though, because I remember when I was at the conservatory, every week we had this vocal lab where you had to get in front of and sing a song. And I remember when I was there, closing my eyes, you know, and just listening. And every voice had a different color. It was like a blanket of color that used to come over me. I would talk about it with friends too, like, you know, well, your voice is brown and my voice is blue and yours is white. And like, oh, what do you mean? Oh my God, that's amazing.
But I so get what you mean.
You see what I'm talking about?
It's synesthesia too. It's
yes.
this thing where, for me growing up, letters were colors.
Right.
Like every letter has a color.
Right.
And I used to think that that's like how everybody experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I'm sitting and with my boyfriend and we're listening to music and I'm like, see, that's yellow and white sound. And he's like, yeah, I don't understand what you're talking about, but that's awesome. Like, tell me more. but yeah, that's very unique and interesting that we both
and not everyone gets
have
it.
That.
Yeah. Especially if you're a musician as well,
yes.
you know, cause you did study music and you have that, you know, that reference and it's energy.
Yeah.
It's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
And is it all for you tied to the chakras? I said it right.
Yeah, you did. yes, it is. And I remember when I was in school, I had this amazing teacher for several years and she was just so spiritual. And I came out to her when I was there, you know, and she was so supportive and she was so psychic herself. But she used to teach me lessons using the chakras.
Ugh.
So she would be like, you know, your eval is going to be your third eye. So I want you to visualize that.
Gosh.
And your heart chakra is going to be your aval because, you know, it's hard to trust and let that aval out. You know, and I was like, oh, this makes so much sense how you're like, this is exactly what I need to hear right now. Because
what a gift.
Right. And just hearing that yourself, you know, you totally get that,
oh,
right?
Wow. What a gift that she.
Yeah.
Did that for you,
too. I always think back to it. I always think back to it, and I use it as a tool, too, before I open up, you know, to give readings. I just kind of go to that place and open that heart center and open those chakras up, and I think about what I learned there, and it was just fascinating. And just knowing now that if you take time out of the equation, that's what I had to learn. And I know you had those experiences, too, you know. But yeah,
there's so much to learn.
I know. And that's the thing is like, you know, we have our whole life still ahead of us. And especially with what we both do, it's like, I'm always learning more about myself and my awareness and my connections and we all are. And, you know, when we step out of ego, we allow that learning to happen. You know, it's when ego steps in that we're like, no, I know it already, you know. No, that's when you got to take a break, step back, you know, go
and
to your altar.
It feels different.
Yes.
It's
tighter.
It's a construct.
Yes, it is. There's resistance.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's definitely interesting, this process of being more connected to your spiritual life every day.
Right.
As opposed to when it's convenient for you.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Do you write too?
I'm resistant to
it.
I write a little bit.
Okay.
But I definitely don't. In my business, there's a lot of like, well, do you write scripts? Mm-hmm. And my response is always like, no, I'm an actor.
Right.
I mean, I like to interpret.
Yeah.
And be collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And writing is, it's kind of an isolated thing when you're writing fiction and scripts and stuff like that. But I do write poems.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, do you ever, I write poetry. And I channel
write. You channel write.
Yes.
I feel like that is a great way to release energy.
Oh, yeah.
And to clear that space, to kind of clear the slate, you know, it's just to get it out on paper.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just nonsense.
Right.
Utter nonsense. But then you feel different.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've released it. And And that's so important to do when you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. You know? I feel like that's a clue. I'm going to do that.
Yes.
Today.
Yes, you need to. I just saw a white butterfly fly behind you, by the way, when we're talking.
Oh, my gosh. That's
amazing.
Hi,
Mom. Yes. So cool.
Amazing.
Yes.
Butterflies are my aunt, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see it every day, like literally every day. And that's what I mean when you're open, you know, to someone who wasn't open, they would be in a space where, oh, just a butterfly flying by. But
yeah.
When you really label the language and give it energy, it has a different mm-hmm. meaning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
And it's going to give you energy.
Yes.
It's not, never takes away.
Right.
Noticing these things.
Yes. It only charges you further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Phil, you're so smart.
Oh, you're so smart. Oh my gosh. It's been so amazing chatting with you. And I wanted to ask, do you want to say anything like to our listener? Anything that you want to like encourage them or give them, I don't know, any kind of advice in closing?
Well, you know, this is just coming to me now. Mm-hmm. I feel, you know, we use the language of God and space and all these things. But I do think it's so, now more than ever, we like to use that phrase a lot too these days, but now more than ever, I feel like it's so important when you wake up in the morning to say to yourself, I am so loved. I am so loved. And even if you, there's a part of you that doesn't think that,
mm-hmm.
just know that it is so, it's as true as that we're breathing air.
Oh my God.
It is so true. And then when you go to sleep, I'm so loved. Even if it's just that for a while. You don't have to sit and meditate for 45 minutes. You don't have to do the thing where you write in your gratitude journal for 6 hours a day. Like,
so true.
You just, I am so loved.
Yes.
A couple of times here and there. And I really find that so helpful.
That is,
and it's so true.
It is so
beyond.
True. And just saying it, even if you don't believe it, just saying it, speaking
so
the words.
Loved.
Yes. It opens that channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because God is love and
mm-hmm.
the universe is love and everything is love.
And you're so loved.
And you're so loved. And you have to allow yourself to be loved. So make sure you love yourself more.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being here with
thank
me today.
Thank you for having me. This was such a pleasure.
Gosh.
I want to come back a million more times.
Oh, please do. Yes. We can sing together next time.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm excited by that and terrified by that.
Me too. Me too. I was kind of thinking, please don't bring that up today because I don't want to be singing today. Like, I'm rusty, so. All right. Well, this has been wonderful. You're listening to Soul Lessons on KX93.5, and I'm your host, Bill Phillips. And I thank you for listening today to my wonderful, wonderful guest, Christine Woods, on her journey, on her channeling adventures, and just on her life. So thank you so much for listening tonight, and I will be back next Monday.